You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. All right, glad you're with us. And write down our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800, it's 941-SEAN if you want to join us. You know, it's pretty amazing the number of people that are actually in the Obama administration that are now coming out believing what we believe, and that is, yeah, this is not a manufactured crisis. This is a real crisis at the border, and we better get our act together because this is happening and happening now. In other words, everything that liberals believed in Obama's second term that they've been afraid of, you know, now admitting or giving a win to Donald Trump, it's just pathetic on their part. It's so bad. It's so pathetic, but it is really so predictable, isn't it? We got a lot to get to today. We're going to hit that. Mark Morgan, who used to be the former chief of Border Patrol under Obama, is going to join us today. We have a segment on creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden. I mean, things are getting worse for him.
Uncle Joe Biden, the close talker.
He's more than a close talker. He's creepy. We have those extra now new women getting involved in all of this. But I got to tell you something. When you look at what's happening, we did a report last night with Lawrence Jones and the head of the sector, the Rio Grande sector. Rio Grande sector, you got to understand, when I went down there with President Trump last time, now I've been down to the border at least 12, 14 times. I need to go back and count because I don't know the exact number of times, but we've been down there a lot. And the last time I was down there was with President Trump. And if you look, you're at the Rio Grande. It's extraordinarily shallow water. If you can't, and you look on the other side, there's Mexico. You can walk it in 30 seconds and there's nothing to stop you. And then you get through and then, oh, you claim asylum. And then you, by law, what we're now putting you you get withheld. Now we don't have the space to hold you. Now they end up letting you go, give you a court date. 95% don't show up for the court date. Why would they? Why would they? They got what they wanted, like the MS-13 guy I told you about yesterday. I mean, this guy literally had been convicted of manslaughter, and lo and behold, oh, he's back in the United States years later. No problem. Back in Long Island, MS-13. Now, ICE has nabbed hundreds of illegals in the biggest workplace bust in a decade, and that is illegals. This took place. And you got to thank these American heroes that work at our Immigration Customs Office, our ICE agents, one of the biggest busts ever. And maybe Democrats would like to take the time and call these people and thank them for doing a great job when they're not saying that we need to eliminate ICE and we need to break down border walls because Democrats want these borders wide open. Look, let's be honest. For years, Republicans, they have catered to a part of the Republican base that wants the cheapest labor possible. And I'm like, well, guys, that's hurting Americans that need jobs. That doesn't help our fellow Americans. There are people still suffering from the Obama era of economics. You know, getting 13 million Americans off of food stamps is a... Now, we've gotten millions, and getting 8 million off of poverty... We need these jobs. Energy is going to be a big source of growth and job creation, especially in the next 6 years, assuming that Donald Trump gets a second term, which I'm pretty sure he's going to get. Anyway, so More than 280 employees of a North Texas telecommunications repair company, they were arrested by federal immigration officials. It became the largest work site operation in more than a decade, according to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And these investigative units, they executed a criminal search warrant Wednesday at CVE Technology Group for related businesses. And it's based in Allen, about 25 miles north of Dallas. And the investigation is ongoing, and we'll see what happens to them. The Destroy Trump media mob complaining that if the president follows through on his threat to close the southern border, the economic disruption is going to be a catastrophe for both the U.S. and Mexico. Now, just to give you a little heads up, the president is not moving expeditiously to make that happen. As a matter of fact, the president is giving Mexico time to get their act together. And, you know, 1 year they're being given to stop the drugs, the migrants, or he's going to tax cars and close the border. If Mexico doesn't have us as a trading partner, their economy, as bad as it is, gets worse. And we told you about this North Dakota contracting company that also has an office in Phoenix when we're talking to Congressman Andy Biggs. They have the capacity to build and finish the wall by 2020 because of certain patents, as Andy Biggs explained in detail. Anyway, trucks delivering goods from Mexico to the U.S., they're facing, you know, 12 hours of gridlock, according to these drivers, and making their life, which is hard enough on the road, miserable. But there's not much you can do because the only people that are getting what's happening are the people in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. And they're believing the president, and they're monitoring all of the repairs that have taken place and the new miles of wall that have already been built by the president. So that's going to become a big problem, you know, as we head on down the road. Now, I know that this is not going to be what the media talks about today, and we have a lot of news we're going to get to. We now have jobless claims, I hope you're not sick of winning, at the lowest level in half a century. Yeah, since, what, 1969? 1969, are you kidding me? Jobless claims plunged to the lowest level since the Mets won the World Series. That's what that means. I could still tell you everybody on that team, Tom Seaver, Jerry Kuzman, Ray Sadecki, Tim McGraw, let's see, Bud Harrelson, Wayne Garrett, Tommy A.G., I said Tug McGraw. Did I say Tim McGraw? Tug, oh, okay, his father. Tug McGraw, then you had Cleon Jones, Tommy A.G., Ed Cranepool, Jerry Grody, Duffy Dyer was the backup catcher. I knew everybody. I was only, let's see, 8 years old. I lived, eat, I was breathing sports. Mets won in 69. It was an unbelievable year. Oh, and I think something happened on the moon that year. I don't remember exactly, but I think something might have. Anyway, so the number of Americans filing now for unemployment benefits has dropped to a near 50-year low, pointing to sustained labor growth. Initial claims, state unemployment benefits declined 10,000. So we've lost, millions have gotten off. We now have a million jobs more that are available today than there are people on unemployment, which is virtual full unemployment, zero unemployment. Then you add the record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, youth unemployment. Well, what does youth unemployment mean? You know what that means? That means that kids in the summer that weren't able to get jobs this summer are going to be working. Now, why would that be important to people? Because kids that aren't working in the summer, that aren't staying busy in the summer, that aren't going to school, I know I speak for myself. If I wasn't working, the likelihood is I'm going to be hanging out with my buddies. And if you're hanging out with your buddies all summer long and mom and dad are at work, there's not a lot of good that's going to happen in that environment for most kids. And I'm speaking for myself, for my own experience. You got to keep the kids busy. It's hilarious. In New York, by the way, is, you know, New York is tens and tens of thousands of people driven away. Well, And even Cuomo says, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich until the rich start leaving. We did tax the rich. But if they leave, you end up with what he has, a $2.3 billion budget shortfall. But he gave himself a 40% pay hike. The governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. In the little wee hours of the morning earlier this week, you know, they hiked Cuomo's salary to $250,000, making him the highest paid governor in the nation. They have a $2.3 billion shortfall.
The taxpayers are broke.
Yeah, you think. Listen, play Cuomo going, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich.
We have one of the most progressive tax codes in the United States, which is a good thing, which means the richer you are, the more you pay. However, that presents a very fragile economy because then you are relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of your tax dollars. 1% of the taxpayers pay nearly half of all the taxes. 1% pay nearly half of all those taxes. Those 1% are the richest people in the state, they're the richest people in the country, and they are the most mobile people in the country. And you see the chart on the bottom. Top 1%, about 46%. Top 5%, 63% of all the revenue. Top 10%, 74% of all the revenue. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. We did. Now,
the rich
God
are leaving.
Forbid the rich leave.
They're leaving. You're chasing them away. And they're leaving their with their money with them. And they're going to Nashville and the Carolinas. And they're going to Texas and Florida. And my only prayer for Texas and Florida and Tennessee and the Carolinas is they don't bring their stupid economic plans with them. They've already done enough damage in their own states. Now, the president is set to announce plans for a summit with the Chinese president to reach an end to this trade war we've been having. Now, you don't get trade deals unless they believe you when you say you're going to do it. Does Donald Trump want a trade war? Nope. Donald Trump get one with Mexico and Canada? Nope. Did he get one with our European partners? Nope. Did he have one with NATO demanding they pay? No, he got everybody to give because America was taken advantage of for all of these years. Now, he was fighting our allies and he was fighting Canada and Mexico and fighting NATO. And yeah, and what did he do? He ended up costing us less money. Because we've been taken care of all of these years. By the way, and the fact that the Republicans, Mitch McConnell says we'll deal with health care after 2020, that's so pathetic. I don't get it. You know, have they not learned anything that if you want to win politically, go fight for what you promise? Betsy McCoy has a great column out on Town Hall. Now, she was the one that carried Obamacare around with her everywhere. And I mean, she knew it backwards and forwards. And she is pointing out, despite conventional wisdom, kind of like with the immigration issue and the president's plan to replace Obama, he's already doing it. And she points out that, you know, they're attacking the president's plan to repeal or replace Obamacare, claiming it will sucker punch consumers, which is a lie because millions lost their plans and doctors and they're paying a lot more. But the president is actually implementing now as many changes as he can do by himself, as usual, that are making the healthcare system better, including getting rid of the individual mandate that was so bad. All right, we'll get to that. We got a lot on Crazy Uncle Joe. We're watching we have Hannity Watch on the border going on all day. We have an update. Now the fake news media is trying to even hype up more information that is false. Smoking is not about politics. It's about people. There are 34 million Americans that smoke. But for me, Juul was a game changer because you switch to Juul. It's simple. It's satisfying and no more smell. I watch people all the time. They run outside in the freezing cold. It can be grabbing their cigarette. Well, with Juul, you'll take a quick puff and you're good. That's it. Now, Juul is designed with smokers in mind. From its form to technology, it's easy to use, no buttons, no switches. And the goal of Juul is to impact the lives of adult smokers by providing a satisfying alternative. Switch to Juul. You'll wish you had done it a long time ago. To discover the smoking alternative that is nothing like any e-cig vape you have ever tried, go to this website, juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. juul.com/switchamerica. You know, you watch, so we get Barr doing the right thing. Remember the excoriation of Congressman Devin Nunes by the cowardly Schiff, who we've invited 4 hours airtime. He won't get back to us. What has he said the last time he called over there? What was the answer?
Oh, they just say, oh, the mailbox is full, and then I email and they don't reply.
Yeah. Have you gone after Nadler's office yet? Maybe we ought to invite him for 4 hours.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
He might be busy, though. He's issuing a lot of subpoenas these days.
We have a dossier on him, too. And our dossier is not Russian.
I'm looking forward to the evidence.
It wasn't put together by a foreign national.
At what point is he required?
I didn't even have to pay for it. I just, all we did was put together their words, what they said. The same Nadler who said he didn't want the Ken Starr report to come out. Same guys that are responsible for changing the independent counsel law that gives the Department of Justice the right to pick and choose. The Attorney General decides what, if anything, is released. And so they're redacting sources and methods and the names of people that might be hurt. Now, they're also demanding, this is a joke, because it's illegal. Talked to a guy yesterday, he's so smart. Like, don't they know that grand jury testimony is illegal to give out ever? So what they're doing, all these phony fake news networks, all the tinfoil hat conspiracy, you know, all the rage Trump media mob people, now they're, the New York Times, Washington Post, they're bombshell. They got a bombshell. The Mueller report so far was, well, first of all, it totally exonerated the president of collusion. Secondly, guess what? Wonder who was their source? We got more anonymous sourcing again. They've got over 2 years of lying with anonymous sources. Now they're lying and creating false hope again. Remember, Rod Rosenstein and the attorney general in like seconds, and they explained all in the lead up to the Mueller report, all said the same thing. No, it doesn't rise to the level of obstruction of justice. Remember, there has to be an underlying crime. There has to be intent. So who's he talking about? Andrew Weissman, who was at Hillary's victory party, or Jeannie Ray, the former attorney for the Clinton Foundation? Which anonymous source? All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program. Let me just stay on this for a second. So let me understand that the American people have been lied to on a spectacular level for over 2 years. Hang on, I'm writing somebody. This is very funny. Over 2 years, and they're caught. There's not a single person, no news division in the country, was able to vet Barack Obama back in 2007 and 8. Not one. Not that they weren't able to. They refused to. Yeah, there was some talk. Finally, we got some talk about Reverend Wright. But we went at everything in terms of a real deep dive investigative report on Obama, his radical views, his associations, his background, his life, his experience. We pulled out his own old audio tapes from his two books, Dreams of Our Father, Audacity of Hope. We went, you know, all the way back to Hawaii and the Choom Gang and Frank Marshall Davis. And what does it mean to be a disciple of Alinsky? And what is a community organizer anyway? And it's interesting, we never got his grades, did we? Never were able to get those. We did eventually, long after he served as president, as I suspected, considering he hung out with Ayers and Dorn and Reverend Wright, that, yeah, that he knew Farrakhan. That picture was covered up for the entire Well, if you include it, nine and a half years. By the way, the Chicago Police Union just announced no confidence in leadership of Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox. They're furious. What that means is the cops have overwhelming, incontrovertible evidence. And we already know what it is. Two eyewitnesses. And they got the two people supposedly involved in the hoax telling them the truth. And we've got the video of them buying the things that were used in the hoax. The red hat. What was it? Rope. All the stuff that they supposedly were used by Trump supporters. And what did Chris Rock say the other night? I guess I think it was at the NAACP Image Awards. Yeah, I'm not going to call you Jussie anymore. I'm calling you Jesse. I don't know. He's just being Chris.
What the hell was he thinking? From now on, I ain't never going to know Jussie. You're Jesse from now on. You don't even get the you no more. That you was respect. You ain't getting no respect from me.
Yeah, and some people were offended by that. I don't know why. You know, but the thing that there's certain people that are in the public eye that get away with everything. And I think it's great. I think Chris Rock is one of the funniest stand-up comedians I've ever seen in my entire life. It's funny, I met him once in real life. There was a charity event for John McEnroe's for underprivileged kids, you know, playing sports. And I was invited to the event, and I went, and they were bidding out like an opportunity to play doubles with John McEnroe and Novak Djokovic against two other people. So I actually bid. I put my hand up. I said $25,000, but I want, and I saw Chris Rock was in the room. But I want Chris Rock to play on the other team. Whatever, you know, whoever John played with, whoever, I didn't know that part. John McEnroe doesn't miss a beat. He's very funny, very quick. And he goes, Hannity, I'll pay $25,000 not to play you, not to play with you. And then I up the ante. I go, well, I'll go to $30,000. And Chris Rock is like, in person, he's like a really shy, demure, quiet, introverted guy, which freaked me out a little bit. But a lot of creative people are. And I kept hearing him say to people, I don't play tennis. I don't know how to play. And not that anyone cares. And McEnroe says, he was just messing with me. It was fun. I think I donated the money anyway. I don't care. But it never happened. They didn't want to play with me. You know, I felt like going right back to my childhood. Don't play with the Hannity kids. You're not allowed to hang out at his house. Anyway, I lost my thought at this point. I had no idea what I was talking about. What was I saying? So what brought me to that point? I don't even remember. You're supposed to. Oh, Jussie Smollett, the breaking news. But I was saying something before that, and then I went to the breaking news. Anyway, let me go. No, I wasn't talking about immigration. You know, when my own staff pays no attention to my show, only when you guys get to go.
The American people have been lied to for 2 years.
2 years. 2 years. American people have been lied to. Now they're, oh, that's right. Now what they're doing is now they're going into the next layer of hope, false hope for their audiences. And here's how you know the New York Times, Washington Post. Remember, there were Pulitzers given out for hoax reporting. When is that going to be pulled back? But what's happening is that because Barr's letter quoted the Mueller report, collusion is out. But they're saying that the fact that Mueller didn't make a decision on the legality one way or the other on obstruction, it's giving them false hope yet again, because they're not listening to what the attorney general is saying. That the attorney general and deputy attorney general, then acting attorney general, the guy that appointed Mueller, that they had a whole process leading up to ever receiving the Mueller report where these issues were discussed ad nauseum. And it had nothing to do with an issue, as was cited in Barr's letter. Not one thing at all to do with whether or not it was you could indict, which is current Justice Department policy, a sitting president. That was not a consideration. To rise to the level of obstruction, there has to be an underlying crime. There has to be intent. Now, because the president openly hoped that a 33-year veteran of this country that fought on foreign lands during wartime, who wasn't even thought to have lied to the FBI, General Flynn made a plea deal. He hoped, I hope this guy doesn't get in trouble. That means he hopes the guy doesn't get in trouble. That wasn't, I'm directing you to leave him alone, which, by the way, the president would have the authority to do as the head of the Justice Department. Now, you can say, well, are they talking about obstructing the investigation? James Comey's firing. James Comey himself said, I knew when I was appointed, I could be fired for any reason or no reason at all.
When I was appointed FBI director in 2013, I understood that I served at the pleasure of the president. Even though I was appointed to a 10-year term, which Congress created in order to underscore the importance of the FBI being outside of politics and independent, I understood that I could be fired by a president for any reason or for no reason at all.
Any reason? All right, so what is the president obstructing? Okay, was he obstructing the Mueller investigation? Well, if the president is defending himself, we now have had four investigations. A nine-month FBI investigation, Strzok and Page are definitive. There's no there. Lisa Page, after 9 months, we found nothing, zero, as it relates to Russia-Trump collusion. And we had the Nunes and House Intel Committee report, no collusion. Then you have the bipartisan Senate Committee and Senator Burr, no collusion. Now we have the Mueller report, no collusion. But we got, Mueller, this is going to be far worse for the Trump campaign than they ever imagined. Well, for number one, the attorney general doesn't have to, because Democrats wanted it this way. After the Clinton Star report, they changed the independent counsel law, and people like Jerry Nadler never wanted Star's report out in the first place. Now demanding and subpoenaing, and we have the right to grand jury material. No, you don't. No, you don't. And the authority you gave to the Department of Justice and the AG, what I don't understand, the president's now beginning to realize, too, there's nothing that's going to satisfy these people. Why bother? They don't have to release a thing. Now, the president, too, can exert, and I would recommend he does, executive privilege. And that is, now remember, it was the cowardly Schiff complaining Devin Nunes for the first time willing to release sources and methods. They're demanding that no redactions take place to the Mueller report, which would reveal sources and methods. They are demanding grand jury materials be let free. Now, all of which you can't do. Innocent people, their names redacted and protected. Well, that's just being responsible, considering they didn't do anything, obviously. And yes, to place their names in the public sphere would be irresponsible and reckless. Now, from my perspective, I think all of this needs to be gone over. And I think the president has a right to exert executive privilege. And if I was him, I would. I don't care what the fake news media thinks anymore. You know, I look at these reports for 2 years you've been lied to. Over 2 years. Trump-Russia collusion. There's not a news division in this country, not one, that has been able to keep up with the daily unpeeling of the onion that we've had, rigging an investigation into Hillary Clinton, their favored candidate. What news division has been able to uncover that? Our investigative reporters did. Our ensemble team did. We know now that James Baker, the number one lawyer at the Justice Department, he wanted to indict Hillary on the Espionage Act. It's obvious she committed that crime. It's obvious. You want obstruction of justice? Hillary, 101. Subpoenaed emails deleted, acid wash your hard drive, beat up your devices, take out SIM cards. So nobody in the media now cares about any of that. They missed the biggest abuse of power. Now, all of that information's coming. Notice nobody is asking for the FISA application to be given, to be released. They don't want that. Well, that's going to impact James Comey's future probably in a big way. Maybe Rod Rosenstein's future in a big way. He signed the third renewal, the fourth FISA warrant. James Comey signed the first one. The bulk of information, the Grassley Graham memo says, was Hillary's bought and paid for Russian lying dossier put together by a foreign agent with funneled money. So now we got these anonymous reports. You got NBC, fake news, they're clinging to their tinfoil hat conspiracy with everything they got. They're quoting Gerald Nadler, who didn't want the Star report out. Who was the leaker? Because it's based on anonymous sources. You know, and by the way, the Times admits they aren't on Mueller's team. They aren't merely associates of Mueller's prosecutor. They're only associates of Mueller's prosecutors. Was it Andrew Weissman, the pit bull, that was disappointed and at Hillary's so-called victory party on election night 2016? Or maybe it was Jeannie Ray, who used to be the Clinton's attorney at the Clinton Foundation. Because who is this anonymous source? Obviously, they're desperate to justify their work, and they wanted an outcome. You know, it would be reasonable to surmise that Jeannie Ray still has many friends in Hillary land. It'd be easy to surmise that Andrew Weissman still hates Trump and loves Hillary. Or maybe it's Strzok or Page or Comey or Clapper or Brennan. Known leakers. Or maybe Susan Rice. Or maybe when we got so close with the Bruce and Nellie Orr testimony and the Page Strzok testimony that all of the investigation into Hillary is being run by Loretta Lynch. Tarmac Bill Loretta Lynch. The one who said it's a matter, not an investigation. The one that said, the one that got to decide. And even Strzok and Page saying, we knew the fix is in. Everybody at that Department of Justice under that AG is a Democrat. We know it's done. It's a done deal. Anyway, we got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about creepy Joe Biden. It's even getting worse.
Crazy, creepy Uncle Joe.
And Senator Kennedy telling Fox News that his behavior is unnatural, abnormal, and weird. Now, we're putting up on Hannity.com right now, we're going to put up Donald Trump's tweet. It is the funniest thing you've ever seen. It is the funniest tweet the president's ever made.
I already did it.
And we're going, I know you did. And we're going, it's up on Hannity.com. We're going to air it on Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News channel. All right, we got to take a quick break here. We got a lot to get to. Media's not going to tell you these things. Oh, last thing. All that information we've been telling you is coming. It's coming. I have the highest level sources. We've not been wrong. No other news division anywhere has done what we have been able to do in 2 years as a talk show host with an investigative reporter team. Yeah, a talk show host. We break news. We do straight news. We do investigative reporting like Obama and like the deep state. We also do a strong opinion, and we do fun stuff making, you know, like John Rich is on later. We do music and fun and whiskey, and we do what else? We do sports, cultural issues.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis.
This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis.
This crisis can have, as we see now, a very elastic definition.
He's determined to convince you there is a crisis at the border, even though an intelligence official tells CNN, quote, no one is saying this is a crisis except them.
Manufactured crisis. Anyway, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. This is all a huge lie, what they are saying to you. The media is saying it. The Democrats are saying it. The Democrats in Obama's second term recognize the crisis And that's why they not only voted to secure the border, but financed the building of border walls. Now, like with everything else, you always get the amnesty. You always get the consideration for the people that didn't respect our laws and sovereignty and entered the country illegally. And you never get the border wall. You know, you always get the spending increase. You never get the tax cut. They're going to spend more, but in years 4, 6, and 10, you're going to get a tax cut. That never occurs. It just is. You've got to get it up front. And the president has been steadfast fighting. And look, as he always does, he is tenacious. He is unrelenting. Look at his fight. I want to deal with health care. Now, we promise. Now, let's do it now. Mitch McConnell, let's do it in 2020. I'm like, it's unbelievable to me. You know, just like the media mob lied about collusion, Russia. Well, let's see. We had a 9-month investigation by the FBI. No collusion. Ask Page and Strzok. There's no there. Then we had also two congressional investigations, the House Intelligence Committee, no collusion with Russia. Then we had a bipartisan committee in the United States Senate. And what did they find? No collusion. Now the Mueller report, Barr's letter quotes, no collusion. Well, maybe now anonymous sources are saying, well, maybe there's hope for the obstruction. Why did Rosenstein and Barr? Because if there's no underlying crime and you cannot prove intent, I don't care what Trump said. Well, yeah, I hope Flynn doesn't get in trouble on this. Oh, he's a 33-year American hero, served his country. What's wrong with hoping that? He didn't say to fix it. Just said, I hope nothing happens to him. And by the way, I hope nothing happens to him. Hope they don't put this guy in prison. Put his life on the line for us in combat for how many years? Served his country for 33 years? It's unbelievable. Now, how many Americans have to die? 2-year period, over 4,000 homicides. Let's see, over 30,000 sexual assaults, over 100,000 violent assaults by illegal immigrant criminals. That, again, I'm only talking about the 2%. I am assuming the 98% that come here illegally want a better life for themselves and their families. I'm just asking that we have a chance to vet you, and I'm asking that you have to show us that you're not going to be a burden on the American taxpayer. You know, I like merit-based immigration systems. Well, we need IT guys, or we need people, you know, helping out farmers or whatever it happens to be. I don't mind the big wall with the big door. My 4 grandparents came here from elsewhere. But the lie is what's got to be dealt with here. Now, we're going to have a report again tonight on Hannity, the TV show, just like we had a report last night, except tonight we actually have the video of all the people coming in illegally at night from last night. It's exclusive to our show. Mark Morgan is with us. He is the former chief of Border Patrol under the Obama administration, retired assistant director of the FBI. Well, you understand the border as well as anybody based on what I've read about your background and your experience. Is there a crisis, and is it now as bad as it's ever been at the border?
Yeah, Sean. So clearly, you know, I go one step further. It's beyond a crisis now. It's an emergency right now. And anybody who says they're just continuing to perpetrate a complete lie. And here's what I'm saying now. And I've been saying this for a little bit now, is this crisis is actually, Sean, the worst that it's ever been along the southwest border. The worst it's ever been. And the reason, one of the largest reasons why, is because of the demographics. We are not returning these people like we used to back in the 90s and 2000s when we had over 1 million. Now we're looking at 1 million this year, and we're letting in 65% of them in the United States. So that means this year we're going to let 650,000 people in the United States. Worst crisis we've ever had on the southwest border.
It is worse. Now, in part, I believe because the president is tenacious, now has the Congress has not been able to override his veto as it relates to the emergency order on the border and border security. And the Defense Department has identified some $9 billion in unused funds that they are now going to appropriate to build the border wall. I told my audience yesterday that there's a guy, well, his actual company's out of North Dakota, but they are also positioned in Arizona, that is able to build the rest of the wall and get it done by 2020. And apparently everyone's taking him seriously. This guy has a great track record, this contractor.
Yeah. So, Sean, I tell you, and this is another thing. What they want to keep shifting the goalposts around, right? So now, because the numbers are so overwhelming, people have to stop saying that it's a manufactured crisis. But they still won't say it's also a threat crisis. Right. And they want to talk about we need technology, we need this, but they still won't go to the wall. And I'm here to tell you, we need to do it all, including the wall. Congress needs to have legislative fix. We absolutely need to increase technology personnel, and we need additional barriers where it makes sense. We need all of that to effectively secure our border. And anyone who doesn't, who says otherwise, all they're using is political talking points to further an ideology, and they just do not know what they're talking about.
Why is it? Now, you worked under Obama, and you're assistant director of the FBI.
Yes.
How come you're seeing and speaking an obvious truth? For example, around 300 Americans die every week from heroin overdoses. Now fentanyl is so pervasive, and it's being laced, using it to lace a lot of drugs. The president now has pressured China to stop the manufacturing in China of fentanyl, thank God, as part of the trade agreement that apparently is going to be coming to Mar-a-Lago for a final negotiation, is what I'm reading. Why, if 300 plus Americans are dying every week, and I've interviewed angel moms and dads, have you over the years, have you met them, those people whose sons and daughters were killed by illegal immigrant criminals that sometimes are protected by sanctuary laws?
Absolutely. I was just on the Capitol steps with numerous angel families just a few weeks ago. Last night I was talking to a father of his son, Drew, was killed by an illegal alien. Absolutely.
You know, it breaks my heart. Like, we've had so many, Laura Wilkinson and Miss Mendoza and Grant Ronnebeck. And I mean, I know these people intimately. I love them. I'm friends with them. I've become friends with them because I admire these people. I don't know how they get up in the morning, Mark. I don't know. I don't know if your kid is killed by somebody that, was in jail for holding a woman hostage and raping her for a week, gets out of jail because of a sanctuary law, and kills your son, who's 22, working in a convenience store so he can raise money to pay for college. I'm not sure I get over that too easily.
Sean, I am with you 100%. Amen. And we need to keep hitting this harder and harder. This is an area I don't understand. These deaths are preventable. If Congress will enact legislative fixes, we can turn this blow off by removing incentives, and if we can fix the sanctuary city laws, these are deaths that can be prevented. Bambi Larson, a few weeks ago, a 59-year-old woman, a home alone, her last dying breath, her last look of her life was an illegal alien stabbing her to death. Someone that had been arrested 6 times, 2 separate counties in California, 9 ICE detainers, had an active detainer on him, and they let him go.
When do these people with these sanctuary states and sanctuary city laws that let the criminal aliens out and aid and abet in further criminal activity, when do they get held responsible for what they do? They're aiding and abetting future crimes of violent criminals. It's insanity to me.
Absolutely. Well, in fact, they just took a lawsuit in California that they lost because that state has a version of qualified immunity. So the lawmakers in that city, that was rejected. They were found not that they couldn't be held accountable. It's absurd. It's a travesty of justice. You know, and look. When I was in government, I went through numerous shutdowns. So don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of this. But I saw congressional lawmakers on the steps of the Capitol holding pictures up of government workers that lost a paycheck. But they can't come and stand next to an angel family who lost their son, their wife, their husband, their daughter, right? How is losing a paycheck more important than losing a life that we could have been prevented. But John, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
That's called permanent separation. Everyone's upset about separation. And by the way, the president that fixed that wasn't Obama. It was his policy and Bush's policy before him. It was Trump that fixed it. All right, quick break. Right back. More with Mark Morgan, former chief of Border Patrol under the Obama administration and former retired assistant director of the FBI. All right, as we continue, Mark Morgan, former chief of Border Patrol under the Obama administration, calling out the alarms that this is a real crisis. It's never been this bad. And yeah, there's drugs, there's drug cartels, there's gangs, there's people dying. There are violent assaults and we're not doing anything about it, except Democrats say, no, there's no crisis. I want to ask you one question, and this goes to your retirement, your capacity, your history as the assistant director of the FBI. Me, along with an ensemble cast of maybe about a dozen, 16 people, for the last 2 years, sadly, as somebody, you know, whose mother was a prison guard and my dad worked in family court probation and many family in law enforcement, really has hurt me to have to see and expose corruption, not among rank and file field agents, special agents, but among the upper echelon in the FBI involved in rigging an investigation into Hillary, lying and purposely committing fraud on a FISA court, literally favoring one candidate over another and trying to bludgeon a duly elected president. I don't know if you see it the same way as I do. I don't know if you're following it the way I have been, but I just wanted to know what you thought of it.
Yeah, so I am, Sean. And here's one thing that I want to say thank you, because I think it's careful when we go and we talk about these egregious mistakes that were made by the leaders in the FBI, is that I appreciate from spending 20 years that you separate those 16 people from the rest, the 30,000 plus employees that every day, all day, throughout this whole thing, continue to do their job, and they weren't part of this. And they're just as disgusted and disappointed as you are and the rest of the country.
That's
is.
Why I'm wearing an FBI pin every night now for my friends in the FBI.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe me, I've seen that, and so have they. And so thank you for that. But to go to your question, yes. I am with you. There are people at the highest levels, a very small select few that surrounded themselves with each other, confirmation bias, and serious mistakes were made. I think mistakes in fact, and then I think, you know, mistakes that have gone and fueled the perception of really bad things happened as well. And I'm just glad, though.
I'm convinced crimes were committed. I think they abused power. You can't commit a fraud on a FISA court, nor are you allowed to rig an investigation because you think one candidate should win $100 million to $0.
I think that's right. And Sean, I tell you, there is enough, you know, it's so funny. We're talking about their predication used to open up the CI case against the president and the special counsel and et cetera. Well, I think from my 25 years of law enforcement, there's more than enough predication to open the cases on everything that you just talked about. There absolutely is. And I can tell you, the day, here's where the rank and file, Mr. Comey, lost the rank and file. It was when he came out in his congressional testimony and said that he had anonymously leaked an official bureau file. Even some of the holdover believers, he lost him at that point. That's incredulous. That's absolute. We don't do that. And it was
no. This is what. But this, I know. I've been around law enforcement people my whole life. I mean, it's salt of the earth, people. I mean, so yep. The only two deity in my family growing up were the two sons of Irish immigrants that became FBI agents. And one has passed away. The other hears me and he says, I agree with you like every other FBI guy I know. So there is.
Yep.
I make that distinction on purpose. You're a real outspoken hero. Mark Morgan, thank you for being with us. We'll have you back.
Thanks, Sean. You bet.
800-941-SEAN. Toll-free telephone number. We're going to get to some calls in the next half hour. Buddy John Rich checks in later today. That's always fun. Maybe he'll bring his guitar and sing us a country song. We'll continue. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. Toll-free telephone number is 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of this extravaganza. All right, we're going to get to some phone calls here. Where did Linda go? Because apparently there's a call for Linda. Oh, she went to the bathroom. Yeah, that's always an excuse to go, you know, hang out and chit and chat with all the people on the outside. We're supposed to buy them pizza today. What happened? I don't know what happened to the pizza I was supposed to buy.
I was unaware that we were supposed to buy them pizza. Maybe we should do tomorrow.
Yeah. So another
And then you won't be tempted to have any.
No, I'm not going to eat pizza. I only eat cauliflower pizza now.
Which is pretty disgusting.
No, it's not.
Well, excuse
no,
me?
It is not.
Cauliflower pizza?
Cauliflower crust pizza. I go to this place, Mario's, and they make it so well. It is, and you, well, the key to it is...
What happened to you?
Costco also sells it, just saying.
No, I'm... whatever, but and maybe it's good. I've got Costco's. You can eat so cheap at Costco's. It's crazy.
What happened to the guy who used to brag about In-N-Out Burger?
I love In-N-Out Burger.
Now doing tofu and cauliflower
pizza.
When
I eat In-N-Out Burger,
it's an outrage.
I do it with a lettuce wrap instead of, and I get it animal style.
I'm sorry, I'm checking out. I must be in universe.
Well, why don't you try Mario's? If you order extra cheese, which is what I do, and I like onions on everything. Extra cheese and onions, then guess what? It tastes great, and I'm telling you, you wouldn't know the difference. By the way, Linda is back in. And
hello.
We were just talking about your disgusting Linda Blair projectile vomit drinks.
Okay, first of all, I'm doing it alone. Blair is not a part of it.
I know. Kylie is a part of it. Kylie is... All right, you guys can't have your own conversation in there. If this guy Joe in Rhode Island wants to talk to you, Joe, I got a question before. I lived in Rhode Island for 5 years. Have you ever been to the Black Pearl in Newport?
You mean Bannister's Wharf, of course.
That's right, Bannister's Wharf.
Clam chowder.
Is that not say it with your Rhode Island Boston accent?
Bannister's Wharf, Newport, Rhode Island.
And what do you call it?
Black Pearl. But no. It's Newport.
Oh, my God. Sean loves the Black Pearl.
What do you order at the Black Pearl? You order?
Clam chowder. White.
Chowder.
New England clam chowder.
Chowder. What?
Wait, when we were in New Hampshire.
Mr. Hannity. Mr. Hannity, I have to admit, I love listening to you, but you
there's
have
a but
the
coming.
Rhode Island, you have the Rhode Island accent. The word dunna, that is your Rhode Island accent that you took out of Rhode Island, not going to.
Well, remember, I grew up in Long Island, so Long Island, New England, Boston, it's sort of like you get these, and Philly and New Jersey, you get variations of the same from all of them. Now, I had to work to at least try and attempt to lessen a really New York talk, thick Singapore accent.
It slips every once in a while.
It slips when I'm tired. Everyone knows when I'm tired. You can tell when I'm tired because it'll slip in.
But we love it. We love it. And the gunner, I mean, people that I talk to and they listen to you, they laugh. They say, Joe, you're perfect with it. But what I would love you to do is to come up to Rhode Island, come to a Gatsby Day parade, the first blow for the country, first blow against the British. And it is the oldest 4th of July parade in Bristol.
No, Bristol,
in the country.
I have been to the 4th of July parade in Bristol, Rhode Island, and it's one of the biggest parades ever. And I lived in Warren, which was next door. I was sort of like midway between Providence and Newport when I lived in Rhode Island 5 years. I lived on Child Street. In case you're interested, you can even check out the dress. It's historic now. 119 and 109 Child Street in Warren, Rhode Island. I lived there. And by the way, my landlords were the nicest people I ever met.
Yes.
Because I had no money, and they took pity on me in like 50,000 different ways, and they're amazing people.
Thank you. But the Gatsby Day Parade, I'd love you to come up. We have colonial reenactments. I do colonial reenactments. Love you to come up. Let you fire the musket. We even have a cannon. Let you fire the cannon. Second Saturday in June, and it's been going on for 52 years.
That's amazing, Joe.
Well,
thank
here's
you so
the problem.
Much.
I used to do the Stadium of Fire events with like 120,000 people in Utah. It was at Brigham Young University, and I'd go there and I did it for a number of years. Then all of a sudden, they didn't want me anymore because, quote, I was too controversial. So I got fired.
Oh. No, matter of fact, we have even colonial encampments.
What makes you, the minute you announce, I'm going to do this for this 4th of July parade, it's going to become a pain in your neck. I promise you.
No. It's not the 4th of July. You'll come up for Gatsby Day. Gatsby Day is the second Saturday in June. They burnt the HMS Gatsby. It was the first blow for freedom. That's where they got the idea for the Boston Tea Party.
What is the Inn of Castle Hill? Have you ever been to the Inn of Castle Hill in Newport?
Yes, yes. The inn is right up on the lawn by the castle lighthouse.
Right.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And you get these incredible ocean views. If you ever go to Rhode Island, you go to the Black Pearl, you get the clam chowder. Then you go to the inn at Castle Hill, you get some cocktails, and you hang out on the lawn or the chairs that they have out there on the lawn, and you will have the time of your life. Now, you can also see where JFK and Jackie O got married. They have the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport. And it used to be the home of the America's Cup race. I'm not a sail person, but it was a big deal when I was there.
Oh, no, you're a tour guide. That's going to be your next calling.
Listen, I loved Rhode Island. Rhode Island is a beautiful state.
I want you to hear something. We have a little tape of you. Joe, listen to this, Joe.
Oh, boy. Toll-free telephone number. Number.
What does that sound like, Sean?
It sounds like me. All right.
Come on, Sean.
We have a rule.
Let it fly, Sean. Be yourself.
All right. So I'm going to let you go. But, Joe, thank you, my friend.
You can't take it anymore, Joe.
I do miss Buddy Cianci, the former mayor of Providence. He had spent some time in prison. But he was the most gregarious, the funnest guy. And he was the mayor when I was there in Providence. I didn't know him at the time. Then he became a talk radio host. Anyway, at some point he went to prison. I don't even remember why. And then he's so good on TV and radio. He used to come to New York to do the TV show. And he talked openly all about, wow, my time in prison. He's the only person I know that went to prison and was the mayor of the prison and had a great time. And everybody loved this guy.
He was the mayor before or after he went to prison?
I think it was, I don't know. I don't remember the sequence. It was after or he got into trouble. I don't even know what it was for, but he said, well, there was a fight about to break out and between prisoners. And I'm like, well, what's the fight about? And he goes, well, he stole my toothpaste. Okay. And then he turned to the guy that needed toothpaste. Do you need toothpaste? I'll get you toothpaste. You want toothpaste? Guys, the guy needs toothpaste.
I got a guy. I got a guy.
Let's help him out. Got the guy toothpaste. And from that day forward, he goes, if any of you ever need anything, you come to me and I'll try and solve the problem for you. And so he got along and they had a great time in that prison. He told me for a time that's horrible and you lose all your freedoms, he enjoyed it. But he would come to New York and he would bring me gallons of Black Pearl clam chowder. It's unbelievable. The best thing I've ever had.
Just so you know, he only went to prison for racketeering. 4 years in a federal prison.
Yeah.
And he was already a mayor, and then he went.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. It's
and
not
he tried to run again. Everybody loved the guy. He was a gregarious, fun guy that probably did something stupid, is my guess. Anyway, all right, let's get to our phones. We're off topic here. All right, Mark is in New York, the all-new AM 710 WOR. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Good. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, sir.
Yeah, excellent. I'm Mark, and I'm founder-owner of the Made in America store up here outside of Buffalo, New York.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to go look at your website.
Yeah, you know, we celebrated 9 years yesterday, Sean. We're up to 9,000 products, support 500 privately owned American businesses, and I want to say I like your show. It's the only one I watch on TV. It's the only factual one. My dad's 82, too. Loves you.
Oh, thank him and thank you. I appreciate it. And where can people get on your site? What's your site?
Yeah, we launched a new site, madeinamericastore.com. And, Sean, I also own a General Welding and Fabricating, so I lost half my business to China back in 2007. You'd love my shirt because it says Made in America Store on the front, but on the back it says because China's a long drive to work.
Wow.
I want to send you one.
Oh, my God, right? I love that, Mark.
So
that's awesome.
The president is going to, I think, he's already made progress on the exporting of American cars and dairy and farm goods and... This deal is going to be really, really important to American manufacturers as well. Now, the other side of that is they got to stop the intellectual property theft that's been going on. And I know because, you know, my friend Keith was the inventor of the year.
I own General Welding and I support skilled trades. Sean, I know you worked with your hands, but I was a Rector Set kid. And my father ball and chained me in the garage, you know. But I support skilled trades. I go to these schools now. I try to give kids a purpose and tell them we got to get the metal shops and wood shops back in these schools.
We do need that. We absolutely need that. You know, I went to the Rhode Island College of, I'm going to get it wrong, and they're going to say a technical college because I wanted to finish my education, I wanted to be a full contractor. Problem is, I was going to school, and then all of a sudden, the guys that were teaching the classes realized, oh, he has a contracting company. Oh, he can, he knows how to do, a lot of work. He's great at rehabilitation and sheetrock and painting and all this. So they would give me A's, but I'd be working on their projects with them and making money. I'm like, guys, you're not helping me out by giving me an A for nothing. You know, we watch you do your work, so we know you understand it. I'm like, I want to learn more than that. And they're like, well, you're kind of making money, and if you have any questions, we'll give you individual lessons.
Yeah.
My gosh.
I want to tell you, Sean, we've got 9,000 products in our store, but we have nothing that plugs in or takes a battery. So I tell everybody, we've been to the moon, but we can't build a toaster. I mean, it's a 40-year mistake in this country.
Oh, agreed. But, you know, the president, thankfully, has put his focus on this. We're getting close to 1 million manufacturing jobs created under Trump. And remember, those are the jobs Obama said are never coming back. So, all right, Absolutely. Listen, I got to run, my friend. Thank you. 800-941-SEAN. And we're going to post your store on Hannity.com, Mark's store. That's awesome. All right, as we continue, our news roundup coming up at the top of the hour. All right, let's get to the phones. Sandra, Michigan, next, Sean Hannity Show. What's up, Sandra? How are you?
How are you? Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
I was listening to the cauliflower crust, and I was kind of like thinking about the butter. They have a butternut squash spaghetti now that they have, and you just pour sauce over it. That's pretty good. I'm not sure about the cauliflower crust.
Listen, I've tried the zucchini noodles instead of real noodles. Yeah. I'm not a fan of it.
No, my husband's not either. But the reason I'm calling is I'm just upset about Uncle Crazy Joe Biden. Kavanaugh did it. It was rape. They need to take him down. He can't be on the Supreme Court. You know, and now Joe Biden gets his hand slapped, free ride, and he has to behave himself now as more women are coming forward.
Well,
it just doesn't seem fair.
What's really, really ridiculous about it all is how would they be acting if it was a Republican? And we know the answer.
Exactly.
And we have a guy in Virginia right now that's being accused by credible women of rape and and violent sexual assault.
All we're hearing is Russia, Russia, Russia.
Yeah, now we're back to Russia, Russia. How many times, this is the biggest epic media fail ever, and they're going to try and grab a line or two out of the Mueller report, but they still ignore what I'm telling you, it's all coming cascading down. That will be the FISA applications. That will be the fraud committed before FISA courts. That will be all the Gang of Eight information, including what the FBI upper echelon knew and when they knew it. That'll include them rigging the investigation into Hillary Clinton. Instead of indicting her, they rigged it to protect her. All of this is coming out, and the media still, they can't accept we were right. I can't think of a single news division in this country that was able to unveil and report and investigate and disseminate the truth like the Hannity radio and TV show. How many news people fail? All right, Sandra, thank you. Brent, Nebraska. Hi, how are you?
Great, Sean. Hey, just wanted to kind of get you updated since our conversation last week on this, on all the flooding that's going on out here. But what a lot of people aren't realizing is that the mortality rate that's hit our calves is just astronomical. The expectation is we're looking at about 1 million calves are going to be lost this year. So what that's going to do to the price of beef is going to be a tragedy.
By the way, are you guys, you know, in Nebraska, are you getting the help that was promised?
I don't think we've seen anything yet, to be honest with you. We're just doing what we can from a local standpoint. Counties taking care of counties.
Well, but, I want you to know something.
Individual.
Listen, what you guys do every day and all that flyover country, all the people that work hard, play by the rules, produce the good services and food we want, need, and desire, you know, you deserve the help. I've seen it. It is devastating what's happened. First, you're in our thoughts and prayers, and if you're not getting it done, call this program back, and we'll make sure we make a big stink about it, okay?
Talking about it, Sean.
I will.
We definitely love you.
All right, man. Thank you so much. We're praying for you guys.
Stay right. right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
Scores, if not hundreds of people have come up to me and reached out for solace and comfort, something, anything that may help them get through the tragedy they're going through. And so it's just who I am. And I've never thought of politics as cold and antiseptic. I've always thought it about connecting with people. As I said, shaking hands, hands on the shoulder, a hug, encouragement. And now it's all about taking selfies together. Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I get it. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility, and I'll meet it. But I'll always believe governing, quite frankly, life for that matter, is about connecting with people. That won't change, but I will be more mindful and respectful of people's personal space. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I've worked my whole life to empower women. I've worked my whole life to prevent abuse. I've written, and so the idea that I can't adjust to the fact that personal space is important, more important than it's ever been, is just not thinkable. I will. I will.
What district of Georgia are you from?
I work in Georgia.
Do you vote in Georgia?
I don't vote in Georgia.
I'm just wondering what district you were from.
There's 30 people outside that do vote in Georgia that I was going to escort in.
But you don't vote in Georgia?
Excuse me. Okay. Don't interrupt me. That I was going to escort in, that they wouldn't let me escort in.
So you don't vote in Georgia?
No, but the people that work on my crew, the 90,000 people that the entertainment industry actually employs, do. So thank you. What's your name?
Dominic Maurice.
Pleasure to meet you, Dominic. My name's Alyssa.
So District 1, nothing?
I just answered your question. I'll be happy to deal with you. These are the men that are voting on what goes on inside my uterus. This guy right here, this guy. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, yeah, what's up?
Thank you.
You know the Koch brothers don't live here either.
All right, there was Alyssa Milano. Remember, she was one of the main eye believers in the Kavanaugh case. And all of a sudden now she is quiet about and actually defending creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden.
Crazy, creepy Uncle Joe.
Well, then, of course, they have this issue. They're trying to attack Georgia. The state of Georgia, and stop making movies there. And frankly, anybody that is making an independent movie, I would say Georgia might be at the top of your list because they offer some of the best tax benefits. I know Alabama does as well. And you see, one of the things that's happening in Hollywood that most people are not paying attention to is they don't have a monopoly anymore. You know, with all the content options and platforms available for talented people that have been shut out because of either their political or religious perspective. Well, you got Netflix and you got Hulu and you got Amazon Prime and you've got, made for TV movies on Lifetime or whatever. So-and-so falls in love, falls out of love, falls back in love, and they live happily ever after unless one of them dies of cancer. I mean, it's just drama. You ever watch those shows? They pretty much have this ebb and flow. Very similar.
I think we should broadcast from Georgia.
I
think we should do a couple of days from Georgia.
From Georgia.
And I'll talk to the representatives about my uterus and how thankful I am.
Oh, my God. Okay. And of course, you know, how do we have a political party in this country now? How did we get here that is openly supporting post-birth infanticide? That would be murder. If you have the baby's born, we'll keep the baby comfortable, and then the mother decides whether the baby lives or die or gets any medical treatment whatsoever. The baby is living as an individual right there in front of you. How do you say, the mother decides whether or not medical care is given? I don't understand that. Or the support for open borders or Kamala Harris hoping that illegal immigrants now get into Congress. And I'm like, huh? What? Who's going to, are we not going to be a nation of law? Apparently, but according to their standards, we are not. Not only did Obamacare fail on a spectacular level, now you have all these Democratic, radical, extreme socialists. Well, they want Medicare for all. That means you cannot, according to people like Kamala Harris and other 2020 candidates, you are not allowed to buy your own insurance. Now, that will impact 180 million Americans will be impacted by all of that. You know, then what is this with the kissing of the ring of Al Sharpton? We got to get Al Sharpton's approval. Did everyone forget Al Sharpton's background?
Did you hear he talked about you this morning?
Who, Al? What did he say?
He said, oh, Sean Hannity used to come here to Non with me. And yeah, he was here and he talked here. And we go way back.
No, I did. I actually debated him. This was one of the biggest moments at the National Action Network. And what happened was I debated Al Sharpton. And I actually brought to the debate tapes like we play on this program. And I had it in a, what do you call it? One of those little, remember people used to have the boombox thing, whatever they call it?
Cassette players?
Yeah, no, it was in a, it was the long one with the big stereo speakers on the end.
Called a boombox.
That one. Okay. So he had that, and I said, I can start playing it, Reverend Al. I said, you like me to start? And I started playing it. Anyway, so the room is packed. Packed. Sweet Baby James was there.
And I was there, too.
And you, yeah, you were there, too. And then there are thousands of people outside the room banging, let us, and chanting, let us in. Let us in. Everybody wanted to go. No, we didn't charge money for it. And I started out that debate. I said, Reverend, do you believe, because he's a reverend. And by the way, he was a preacher when he was a young man. And I think he's sincere in his beliefs, but I think politics at time in his career has taken over. And he said a lot of incendiary things, and he really never apologizes for it. And his actions and statements in the past are kind of hard to reconcile because of it was a conservative that had said these things. They'd never forget it as long as they live. Anyway, joining us now, we have Danielle McLaughlin and Jonathan Gillum with us. And, well, let's just go through, why is every Democratic candidate now sucking up to Al Sharpton? Here's his greatest
hit. You ain't nothing. You a punk. Now come on, do something.
Yes.
You want to be the only on television. We learned to admire them, but they knew to admire us. We built pyramids where Donald Trump ever knew what architecture was. We taught philosophy and astrology and mathematics before Socrates and them Greek ever got around.
White interloper, I said I was wrong. Cracker, though I think Cracker is a certain personification of a certain type of person down south, just like redneck. I mean, you know, some people misinterpret Cracker meaning all whites is not true, but the confusion means you shouldn't use it. I mean, sometimes being flippant, you say things you shouldn't say because it gets in the way of your message and people don't really understand what you're saying.
Danielle, would the same consideration be given to a conservative who said something stupid or a lot of stupid things over the years?
You know, I think Democrats have to be really careful, actually, about the extent to which they're going to get involved in with the reverend. I mean, there's a reason that they're at this convention. They're speaking to a constituency that they want to win. But I take your point. Democrats have been very vocal about anti-Semitism, about Islamophobia that they've seen in their political opponents. And so I think they do actually have to be very careful about who they're seen with and how they can defend it.
Let me ask you, my good friend Jonathan Gillum. Now, if you compare 8 years of Obama and his economic record, it disproportionately negatively impacted the black community, the Hispanic community, etc. Now we have, as I started the program today, we have a jobless claims at the lowest level in over half a century, since 1969. We have record low unemployment for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, youth unemployment. And I'm wondering, Obama, when he left office after 8 years, him and creepy Uncle Joe left us with 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more Americans in poverty, and the lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, the worst recovery since the 40s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years, which has changed as well, and also doubled the debt, taking on more debt than every other president before him combined, and the only president never to make 3% GDP growth in his presidency. So I'm wondering, whose policies are working for all Americans?
Well, I think it's obvious when you look at the numbers that President Trump has done something that nobody else has done. And you don't even have to look at the numbers. I mean, the numbers are proof of that. But what it shows is you have a president that's looking for solutions. And I think that's what you got to look at here. Look, Al Sharpton is a black separatist. He's a racist. And he is also a voice in the Democrat Party. And when you look at...
I don't know if he's a black separatist. I think that's more Farrakhan. I don't think that's Sharpton.
Well, I mean, look, they play in the same ballpark, him and
well, they've been together a lot. I mean, we saw Bill Clinton at the event with Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan and Al Sharpton. And I can only imagine if a Republican were hanging out with such a controversial group of people, what would happen?
So here's what I got to make or clarify about that and the rest of the Democrat Party. When I say black separatists, there's levels of separatism in this country. I think that the Democratic Party is a separatist party. They are not interested, as we can see, with what's going on with Joe Biden, with what is happening with Alyssa Milano and the way that she talks. You know, these people are not interested in solutions. They're interested in people coming over to their side, and they're not interested in the rest of the country and the benefits or taking care of the rest of the country. And when I say Al Sharpton is a black separatist, he is not interested in fixing the problems in the inner city. He is interested in keeping them separate and keeping them down, because that's what the Democrats
No, I don't
does.
Think he, I don't want to disagree with you. I don't think he's a separatist. I think that he has used incendiary language, and there is a myth that is used every 2 and 4 years, that Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air, water, kill granny, and kill the children. That's what they believe. And I think all liberals believe that. Otherwise, that's why they feel free to say anything they want about Democrats. The thing is, regardless of what the results are, I just gave you the economic statistics. You know, we have record low jobless claims at a record low. That's the lowest level since 1969, when the Mets won the World Series, Danielle. And then every record for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, women in the workplace, youth unemployment. Whose policies work better for the forgotten men and women that I care about in this country? We're all Americans to me.
We're going to find out around tax time how people are feeling about the Trump tax.
I didn't ask you what did we see in 8 years of Obama versus 2+ years of Trump? What have we seen? A dramatic economic turnaround? True or false?
False.
False.
Trump economy was born on third base. The Trump economy was born on third base, and the Obama administration took us from the precipice of economic meltdown and brought us to a place where
How do you add 13 million more Americans to the food stamp rolls, 8 million more Americans in poverty? How do you say that Trump's deregulation, largest tax cuts in history, energy independent for the first time in 70 plus years? How do you just dismiss it? Oh, no. Obama did that. Obama had 8 years. You're still talking about his first year in office.
I'm saying that the Trump administration inherited something that the Obama administration did not. What Obama got from George Bush is very different.
I'm so sick of hearing about it. You're blaming Bush for 8 years of failure. It's ridiculous, Jonathan.
Well, I tell you, I think if you look at where the country was before Obama and where the country was when Obama left, what you have to look at is that there was no overall improvement in the quality of life. The numbers say this, or the numbers can be squeezed that way, but the reality is the division in the country was worse. none of the wars ever got solved or finished, and the overall quality of life did not improve. Even people who got quote-unquote Obamacare were unable to use it because the deductibles were too high.
So unbelievable.
That's not true. Now.
Yes, it is true. Millions lost their plans, their doctors, and paid more, but I got to run. All right, thank you all for being with us. All right, when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. Other news of the day, News Roundup Information Overload continues on The Sean Hannity Show.
What do you think has changed in America that, you know, it hasn't been that long since World War II? What do you think in 70 years or so has changed that the new crop, the young Americans now, are many of them, not all of them, but many of them are so different than the attitude that you guys had back then?
Well, when it comes to you taking care of yourself, that's what you did. No matter if you needed to earn a dollar, you'd go out and figure out how to earn a dollar. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't sit around and wait for somebody to hand you something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. What do all your employees think about you as a boss?
What employees?
You don't have any employees?
No.
You do this all by yourself down here?
I had two. I hired two different times.
Yeah.
They were experts, but they couldn't hem a pair of pants like I wanted them to.
So you had to go redo it.
I'd redo it or make them redo it. And I decided that was a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. You might as well do it yourself.
Might as well do it myself.
Sounds familiar.
Uh-huh.
I like that. So what goes through your mind when you turn on the news and you see people busting out windows or acting in some of these protests? I mean, it's our right to protest, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And they say they want to see socialism come into the United States, or you talk about when you were growing up, nobody gave you anything. If you needed a dollar, you figure out a way to go earn that dollar. What do you think? Because I know you keep up with the news and all that. I just can't imagine what goes through your mind, but tell me what goes through your mind when you see that. What would you like to tell those people if you could walk a couple of them into your shop at 86 that you run by yourself and make a good living at? What would you tell those young people?
Oh, well, I would tell them that if they wanted anything, they needed to get out and figure out how to do it for themselves. I'll be flying higher than a jet airliner.
And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along. All right, what is a little bang in your yin-yang come along? This could only mean one thing. John Rich is in the house from Big and Rich, and I'm going to explain that interview in just a second. I'm laughing my ass off. That is just phenomenal. How are you, my friend? Good to see
you. Good to see you, my buddy. Good to see you.
Last time you're here, so you talk about Redneck Riviera whiskey.
Yep.
I got cases right behind me.
I know, man.
And then we do our Fox Nation hit some days,
uh-huh.
And it's right behind me. It's like free advertising for you.
I owe you more whiskey now. No, see, it's all in trade.
Though some of those bottles are going missing a little bit. But
yeah. Well, it's done great since that interview. We're around 45 states.
It's awesome.
It's just it's all across the country, and you know we give 10% back to the Folds of Honor.
By the way, I love the Folds of Honor. I know a lot of my friends at Fox work with them.
Oh, yeah.
And I work with Building Homes for Heroes. We all do our little thing to help these guys.
Well, and you helped get me over the line. Remember you asked me how many scholarships? Well, after you purchased what you purchased and everybody else across America did, Redneck Riviera Whiskey paid for 43 college grants for the Folds of Honor in 2018.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's such a good cause. Now, this is what I love about you. You're like a man of action. Like you're just constantly thinking and moving. And I hear about what goes on. You have at your house a bar and a jamming room.
Right.
I've never been invited myself, but I've seen it. You did a TV special about it.
Yeah.
All right. You just get up there with anybody and jam.
Yeah. It's got a full stage and it's got a
full bar.
It's got a pool in the backyard shaped like a Gibson guitar that's about 70 feet long. You know, I grew up in a double wide trailer in Amarillo, Texas. Nothing fancy, but I was raised to believe in America. You're allowed to work as hard as you want to, dream as big as you want to. Doesn't mean you're going to achieve everything you want to do, but you got the right to go for it. And I've gone after it my whole life. And
you still.
Not just for monetary stuff and like that, like just the integrity and the great feeling you get when you achieve something or go after something.
You're
big.
One of the best, most well-known writers of music. I know most people know you from Big and Rich, but you write for so many other artists. I mean, you're cranking out creativity mm-hmm. on a regular basis. You've even written for this show firing torpedoes of truth
at a wall of lies.
That came right out of your brain.
We came up with that at the very first Tea Party.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah, it was like 2008, right?
No, 2010.
2010.
In Atlanta. We had, 25,000 people showing up in the streets. It was crazy.
Yes.
And you were nice enough, as you have on so many occasions, come out for us. And you were there, and you were playing, and you were jamming, and the crowd was going nuts. I expected, 300 people.
It was an absolute huge crowd.
And it was like up the street, down the street, around the corner, and like you couldn't even see the end of the crowd.
Yeah, the patriotism was thick.
So you own a bar in the Vegas Strip, and I think you now own one in Music City, in Nashville.
Yes.
Called the Redneck Riviera.
That's right. Same name as the whiskey. So if you go to Nashville, it's right on Broadway, which is where all the bars are lined up, the Ryman Auditorium's there. So I'm at 3rd and Broad, and we have that Heroes Bar inside where if you're active duty or a vet, you walk in and they roll out the carpet. We hire veterans and active duty.
I want to tell everybody what you do. So you go into the Redneck Riviera either in Vegas or in Nashville.
Right.
And you go to the back, you have a special bar.
Called the Heroes Bar.
Heroes Bar. Now, if you're active military, you served your country.
Right.
Explain.
Or a veteran.
Or a vet.
You come in, the Heroes Bar, those military coins that a lot of the guys and gals, if they like you, they'll shake your hand and give you their coin about their service.
I got a whole collection. I saved them all.
Me too. So we put a bunch of those coins, a bunch of my coins, down into that bar, mounted them down in there. And so if you're active duty or a vet and you sit down in there, they start comping your drinks. The band will sing the Star Spangled Banner. Yeah. The best-selling T-shirt at the Redneck Riviera says, if you kneel for the national anthem, you're in the wrong damn bar.
We
can't print them as fast as people buy them. And, I'm proud of it. I've never shied away from being a patriot and loving our country and respecting what it stands for.
I love so much about what you do. Now, when I went to your Vegas bar, you and Kenny, Big Kenny, were playing together. I mean, it was so fun.
Yeah.
The only thing that was weird about that night is that Linda was there, and she was dancing by herself. I don't get people on a dance floor dancing by herself. I don't care whether you like it. It's a fact.
I enjoyed it, Linda. I thought it was great.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Everybody was looking, and there you are rocking out to Big and Rich. And I'm like, what are you doing?
This is fake news, and let me tell you why.
So it's fake. If it's not
fake
news,
and let me tell you why.
This is such BS.
There is never, first of all, and John's going to agree, there is never one person on the dance floor at a Big and Rich concert. Okay, I was not alone. We were all breaking it down.
No, you were dancing solo.
I just wasn't dancing with any of our people because our people stink and they didn't have the cojones
to
get up on the dance floor.
I was drinking and enjoying the music.
Sean, you are uncovering something about yourself right now.
What's that? I'm uptight?
The one time you're not the center of attention, it drives you totally crazy. That's what it really
is,
Linda.
Ding, ding,
ding. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that's not true because I was taking selfies in your bar all the night.
Oh, dude, that night was ridiculous.
All right. So I went to the Heroes Bar.
Uh-huh.
I did a shot with a lot of vets.
Yeah.
And then they want me to do another one.
Right.
Here's a little secret. I try to avoid, when John Rich is in town, going out with John Rich. There's no way I am getting home before the sun comes up.
But you need a night like that every now and then. You're so high pressurized, bro.
Bro, listen. You make me do shots of Crown Royal
back in the day.
No, now it's Riviera.
Redneck Riviera.
Redneck Riviera. All right, so we play this interview and this is really cool, actually. I want everybody to know about this. It's called Granny Rich Reserve. This is a new blend.
Yes, so this is Granny Rich Reserve, which is exactly like Redneck Riviera whiskey, but it's aged 4 more years, and it's 86 proof because she was 86 as we developed it. The original's 80 proof. So it's a little stronger and a little more aged, just like Granny Rich, who is the most experienced whiskey drinker I know. She's been sipping whiskey since World War II and still runs her own business and, 40 hours a week. She's now 87 years old. So Granny Rich Reserve just came out across America, and we're proud to have it out there. Her face is on it.
Yeah, her face is on the back. She's a very beautiful woman. First of all, how cool that she... I like those moonshine shows.
Right, right.
And I'm like, all these guys.
Yeah, she's like our Popcorn Sutton.
Exactly.
RedneckRiviera.com, Sean, as always. You go on there. We actually just got it loaded up. You click on the ship it to my house.
Right.
And they'll send it right to your house. Granny Rich Reserve it's only in 10 states so far. So if you're not in one of those 10 states, that's how you get
it. Well, it's sort of like if you like Johnny Walker, they got Johnny Walker red, black, but then they got Johnny Walker blue.
Blue, right.
This is sort of like your
blue.
This
is the reserve, yeah.
Right.
So this is the good stuff. And, Granny stands for so much to me and now you're finding out she's becoming kind of iconic, honestly.
She made all your clothes, your on-stage clothes for
years.
She's
a seamstress, so she's an alterations expert and has been since the 40s and 50s and still is and runs her own business. She makes my stage clothes. She fixes everybody's clothes that ever comes in her
shop. You know, I wear your boots that you gave me all the time.
Yeah.
I love those boots.
Yeah, for sure.
And you got other stuff, you know, that you have for sale. I better get a T-shirt, though. I want this. I do appreciate, by the way.
I got you your cap.
Redneck Riviera. It's a green.
It's green.
And it says Irish Redneck.
Yeah. It's got the clover on it there,
it's
Shawnee.
It's got the clover for Shawnee, old boy. But I love T-shirts because I work out every day like a maniac. So tell me what you're... here, one question. So your dad is a preacher. And you, he's fire brimstone, right?
Correct. Preaches at the prisons.
Does he get mad that you drink whiskey?
No, because it's not a problem to drink whiskey. It's a problem to drink too much whiskey. It's like it's not a problem to eat food. It's a problem to eat too much food.
Well, you got to define too much, because when I hang out with you, you're fine. By the end of the night, I'm like ready to be carried home.
You know,
and I have a pretty high tolerance.
Listen, I asked him about it, you know, and he said, "Well, are you tithing on it?" Which is Malachi 3:10. I said, "Yes, sir, 10%. He goes, "Who are you tithing to?" I said, "The Folds of Honor. It puts kids through college who lost a parent in combat." I said, "So are we good?" He goes, "Well, Jesus didn't turn the water into Dr. Pepper." That was his answer, which
true,
is a
right?
huge thing for my dad to
then
say.
Why
that.
Doesn't the church, some denominations, why don't they think it's okay to drink?
Well, probably because in reality, if you don't drink at all ever, there's never a chance of you doing
getting
anything
in trouble.
Wrong. But it's just like anything else. Like, you can overeat, you can overwork, you can be, you can do anything too much, and it's not good for you.
Problem is, you go out with John Rich, and you can't say no.
Because you're having a good time.
Because you're having a great time. Remember the night we were out with that one famous actor? I don't want to mention him on the
air. Oh, yeah, I remember.
He's nuts.
A little bit.
He's a little bit nuts.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Now, tell me what you're doing musically right now. What are you up to?
Well, you know, the Big and Rich Tour is all over the United States. I think we're going to hit about 70 cities this year. The Granny Rich story right now is really breaking. I think you played some of me interviewing her earlier.
I did.
You know, when she's talking about seeing politicians interjecting socialism, like straight up socialism, into our conversations in this country. She sees that, and it really, really upsets her, because she'll tell you about during World War II how they were dragging scrap metal to the school buildings so they could, everybody from the little kids to the old people, were pulling together as one unit, and they didn't agree on all their politics back then
and
either.
And she does this all on her own. I mean, I'm looking at this whiskey. We'll put it up on Hannity.com, Linda, if you can. It's the Granny Rich Reserve.
Yeah,
it's got to be limited in terms of production, because only she's making this.
Well, I mean, we make it. You know, my same company that makes Redneck Riviera whiskey makes it, but it is a very specific thing. Yes,
specific so Granny.
It's specific, to her. And so, like I said,
Granny Rich.
Yeah.
By the way, is she related to you? Is she your granny?
She's my granny. You kidding me? That's why I'm the way I am. She's
Dude,
been she drinking
makes
whiskey.
His
since
costume, son.
She makes my stuff.
I just
buddy.
Thought you called her Granny Rich. I didn't know it was your real granny.
Are you serious? That's my the dad you were just talking about, who's a preacher. That's his mother. Okay.
And he doesn't drink
No, so it skipped the generation. So me and Granny are drinking buddies. So
man, that's
RedneckRiviera.com. If you're out there and at your computer, go to that website. You'll see on the very front page, there's a store locator. You put your zip code in, you'll find the stores, or you can have it shipped to your house. 10% to the Folds of Honor.
Yeah. Well, just I want to put a lot of emphasis on that, because it's really important. RedneckRiviera.com. Redneck Riviera whiskey, this is the regular whiskey, is in 45 states.
45 states.
But Redneck Riviera Granny Rich, that means your granny your
Reserve.
Real granny made it. By the way, I can see where you got your good looks from, because they got a picture of Granny on there. And you can get that, but doesn't matter which bottle you buy, 10% goes to the Folds of Honor, which provided over 40 scholarships to fallen heroes, children, and spouses. And by the way, you're singing the national anthem, I read, at the Dover Motor Speedway on May 5th, and you're going to be attending the race weekend as part of, I guess, big production, Redneck Riviera Whiskey production.
Yeah, so Dover Downs, you know, famous racetrack, it's their 50th anniversary. Yeah. They wanted Redneck Riviera Whiskey throughout Folds of Honor activations. I get to sing the national anthem. And
who's your favorite driver?
Oh, man. You know, I was a Dale Jr. You know,
yep.
I actually got to be in his dad's pit crew one time way back in the day in Bristol, Tennessee. But, you know, I get to take my kids. This will be their first NASCAR race. So Cash and Colt are now 9 and 7. So they're going to go get to watch
the
race.
When I first covered the Daytona, I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was blown because I grew up hockey, and baseball and basketball, and it blew me away.
Yeah.
And then I met those guys. They're all cool. All right, we love it. Just go to the Redneck Riviera, oneword.com. Our buddy John Rich, we love you.
Thank you, Sean.
My best to you, Dad, your
God
grandma,
bless you.
Granny Rich. Walking the line between young and dumb and stupid. Fly too high and drive too fast. Burning through daddy's tires and gas. If it didn't make sense, we lined up to do it. We did it for the rush, did it for the buzz. Yeah, man, everything we did it just because. We were bulletproof, gonna live forever. Every time we got together.
Firing torpedoes of truth at a wall of lies. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, tonight, Hannity on the Fox News Channel, the latest with the deep state, the latest on the border. We have people down there, Lawrence Jones, others, and yes, holding them accountable, and yet even Alec Baldwin tonight. Don't miss it. 9 Eastern. See you then. Back here tomorrow.